Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Been listening already? We appreciate that. If you just tuned in, well, you know how excited we get when you do things like that. We appreciate it. We know that you're going to be happy that you did. Sam Norwood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Sam's back in town, so to speak. Sam is senior partner with Tatum LLC. It's an organization of corporate professionals, management professionals, financial professionals, information technology professionals who are running small businesses and medium-sized businesses all across the country, 600-plus of them. And every month, Sam polls them and asks them, how are things going? How were they last month? How are they going to be the next 2 months? Give us your best shot on that. And then he compiles all that information and then, like a trooper, brings it back to us every month and tells us about what they said. So you and I can compare our own notes to theirs and maybe get something out of all that. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to be back with you. And Sam, the news is pretty darn decent this month, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes excitement is fun in life, but sometimes, pretty good is just what we need. In fact, they talk about the Goldilocks economy, and
right.
Goldilocks just means about right. If we compare ourselves right now to what it was like a year ago, things were too hot a year ago. The news was wonderful. The economy was growing at 5.5%, and that felt pretty warm. The problem is you can't sustain that kind of growth. And as we found last year, the economy started slowing in the spring, and by August it was we were really heading down, and the Fed stopped raising interest rates, and the economy started moving back up again. Now we're about 6 months into a really nice recovery from a dip last summer, and it feels pretty good. It's not wonderful, but it feels just about right. That's the Goldilocks economy.
I wonder how much of the dip last year, too, was caused by higher petroleum prices.
Well,
and not only higher, but they were going up so much that it was not just the price, but also the specter of maybe them going through the roof.
Well, it seems to have gotten everybody's attention. Now, you may recall that the price of oil peaked at about $78 a barrel. Now it's about $61, $62 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy issue was one thing. Housing also was peaking and starting to head down as interest rates were rising, and that was another factor. And there were many factors, let's say, going into that. But the economy surely did get a little scary last summer. And then since September, it's been on a nice uptick. And we measure it. We're not long-term forecasters. In fact, we're not economists. In my firm, we're business folks out there where the rubber meets the road. Our executives are outsource executives to help small, medium, and large businesses function and meet their challenges. And they're just reporting what they see in their business all over the country in many, many industries.
You know, Sam, I'm glad you're not an economist. You guys aren't economists because you know what Ronald Reagan said economists were, don't you?
No.
He said they're people who look at things that are happening in reality, and they wonder if they would actually work in theory.
That's really good.
So,
well, economists have a role, and we're happy that they that they're out there, and you know they're Well, they have a place.
We love economists.
Looking at the longer term.
We have a number of economists who are members of our Brain Trust, and they do a great job. And
sure.
But I like your rubber meets the road report really well, because you guys are out there making it happen. You're out there just like the folks in my audience and making it happen. The one of the things, Sam, that bothers me a little bit is when people start. And the news media does this. They start trying to make a big deal out of the economy slowing as if it were about to fall off a cliff, when really it's going, as I've said before, it's going from 120 miles an hour to 70 miles an hour. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's really good. And it becomes sustainable when we're growing at, let's say, around 3%. That's really sustainable. We get improvements in our own productivity at a rate that is just a bit under 3%.
Right.
And so we can click along here and grow at 3, a little bit more maybe, and not be putting pressure on inflation.
Hold on to that thought, Sam. I got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend Sam Norwood. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. Thank you very much for doing that. Looks like we had a record February. Looks like March is going to be better than that in terms of the way you're using the site, and we appreciate that. We like seeing you do that, because we believe that if you use the Small Business Advocate show and the site the way you should, that it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and you won't wind up in the business obituaries. That's my goal, is to help you be successful and not wind up in the business obituaries. And I know Sam Norwood agrees with me. Sam is a senior partner with Tatum LLC, and we're talking about this report that he and his organization puts out every month on how things are going out there. Sam, one of the things that happened that you guys put in parenthetically into your report this time was that this report came out prior to the little dust up that they had in the stock market last week, right?
Right. Of course, interestingly, that little dust up in the stock market last week is probably going to change today. Excuse me. The futures for the Dow are up about 80 at this point,
and so.
It looks like today is going to be a good day, and we had a nice recovery earlier this week. So the Dow is going up and down, and the reason, part of the reason for that shows up in our survey. Our survey this month is characterized by more people saying they think things look better in the next 60 days, and more people saying things look worse in the next 60 days.
Hmm.
That means for us, we look at that as a cautionary item, because it instead of a broad advance, the advance is being more selective than we have seen.
You think that's by is that by industry, you think?
Yes,
sector?
It's by industry and it's by region.
And so your
listeners are maybe saying, well, it doesn't feel all that wonderful to me, and because some segments are not doing so well, construction being the primary example,
mm-hmm.
and companies related to construction would be affected by that. But others might say, hey, things look just fabulous for me, and that might be in some services, some high tech. And retail is bouncing back very nicely. So, what we're seeing, instead of it's being a more selective advance rather than being a broad advance, and that characterizes every indication that we have, almost every indication we have coming out of our survey.
You know, Sam, a little bit of an aside. I don't know what golf club Alan Greenspan belongs to. But I'd like to go ahead and find out who it is. If you know, let me know, because I want to go ahead and pay in advance for him some golf lessons. I'd like for Alan Greenspan. God bless him. I love him. I'm proud of him. He's a great American. He served this nation well. I don't know what we would have done without him in the 80s and 90s. I wasn't too excited about what he did in the late 90s, but basically on balance, a great American, a great servant. But he's the retired Federal Reserve Chairman. I don't think we need to hear what he has to say in the future.
Well,
because his little comment about a future recession, I mean, he needs to keep his mouth shut and let Ben Bernanke give us the financial information.
It's very interesting. While he was the Fed chairman, you couldn't get him to talk.
I know.
Now that he's retired, you can't get him to be quiet.
Well, we need to get him back out on the golf course a little bit more where he doesn't have an opportunity to do that.
His wisdom is quite good, and he says, well, there's one-third chance of a recession this year. And one-third means that there's a two-thirds chance of not a recession.
Exactly. People only hear the word recession when he says it, though.
Yeah. Remember some years ago when the president was saying, oh, we don't want to talk about recession. We can talk ourselves into recession if we talk about it too much. And they had an economist testifying before Congress who was very careful not to use the recession word, and instead you substituted the word banana.
I remember that. That was several years ago.
As business people, we have to deal with what we believe to be the realities, and in the future, it's never, ever 100%.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm not as smart as Mr. Greenspan. I'm not as smart as you are. I'm not as smart as your folks who report to you are, Sam. But I pay attention, and I don't see a recession in our near future.
I don't even
see a one-third opportunity for a recession in the near future. And to me, the only opportunity for a recession is if something happens that we have no control over and that we can't even comprehend, we can't even contemplate right now.
Well, and I would say there's a one-third possibility that something like that might happen at any time. And we just don't know. There's uncertainty about outside events that can change the course of things. But right now, we see the near-term future as looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Of course, you can say, using an airplane analogy, that if you want to know where the airplane is going to be in the next 5 minutes, look at where the airplane has been in the last 3 minutes.
Right.
And you can, you know, and so that's one thing. But also, airplanes have, using that analogy, airplanes have within them self-correcting things called a gyroscope. And the gyroscope helps get the airplane back on course if it's going off course.
And our economy has never had more gyroscopes than it has right now in history of the economy. Stand by, Sam. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we'll be right back.
I must have played them all. Fly ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That damn dumb blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
I see light and it's passing right before my eyes. And the best is the best.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Sam Norwood. He's with Tatum LLC. Sam, tell us a little bit about Tatum.
Tatum is a firm that was founded about 12 years ago. And what the firm does is provide outsource executives to businesses to fulfill functions and to do projects that in which we integrate with the management or become part of the management and get things done, fulfilling the role, for example, of chief financial officer, either part-time, full-time, or temporary.
We can rent you. We don't have to own you.
Yeah, rent. Yeah, exactly. And or you can rent to own, but mainly it's renting. The individuals stay with our firm as professionals, and they make their career with Tatum, but they go out and fulfill needs within firms at the chief financial or cheap information, sometimes cheap.
If you need a CFO, if you need a CFO one day a week, folks, instead of 5 days a week, the Tatum's got you covered. That's a great example of outsourcing in the marketplace and some things that they've done to add value to so many companies. And it's Tatum.com, is that right?
TatumLLC.com is
TatumLLC.com. All right, so check that out, folks. And you can find the survey there, too, by the way, as well as on my website. Sam, one of the concerns that that people have legitimately about the strength of the economy is business expenditures, capital expenditures by businesses. And your report this month kind of bears that out, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're tepid. We characterize capital expenditure commitments as being tepid. Normally, capital expenditures are a good indication of confidence, rapid growth, evolving technology, and the need to expend funds for expansion. And we see right now our survey results show that commitments to new capital are just lukewarm, and so we see that as a cautionary thing. And we'll see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. Over time, capital expenditures are a good indication of strength in the future. And it may be that part of this is a technology thing, as folks are waiting for a new wave of technology that may be built around Microsoft, a new software operating system,
mm-hmm.
Vista.
I don't like the idea of hoping the Microsoft Vista program is going to help the economy, because the word I get on Vista is not that kind of not that exciting for a lot of folks.
But it's not so exciting. I was in a store yesterday looking at stuff and talking to the folks, and they say, well, it's pretty good. No big complaints about it, but it's not the kind of revolutionary breakthrough that would cause you to jump out and rush out and get it.
Spend a lot of money. Sam, another thing that I know that Kiplinger says that we're going to do about 1.5 million new jobs in 07 as opposed to about 2.2 in 06. And that tracks with your headcount sideways arrows, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, we're almost at full employment. If the unemployment is at 4.5%, the fact is that at the professional level, college graduates and the professional level, the unemployment is like 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And for skills that are really needed, these are intellectual skills, there is such a shortage that we're almost tapped out in terms of companies are still screaming for good help.
Someone recently reported on the show that there may be 2 million jobs going wanting right now.
Well, I believe that.
In other words, we have that many people who are unemployed, but they're not the people who can fill those roles.
Well, we've shifted from an industrial economy to a communications and information economy, and the information economy that we're into right now requires a higher level of skill than was required 20, 30, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may be that there's an IQ and an educational shortage that is needed to sustain the kind of economy and the kind of society that we're now into.
And educators, are you listening? Those of you who are making decisions about educational curriculum and everything, are you listening to what Sam had to say? We need our students to be prepared for 21st century jobs. Hey, Sam, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Jim.
And we'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And I always want to remind you, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.